Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Very, very exciting right now that the fight is official. I've also tweeted out the ESPN.com story as Megan Anderson will face Chris Cyborg in the co-main event of UFC 214, July 29th, for the Women's Featherweight Championship. The announcement, it's all official. So it's done. And now to talk about that, we have the next featherweight champ in the UFC, Megan Anderson, on the phone. Good morning, Megan. How are you?
Hello. I'm good, thank you.
Thank you very much for calling into the show. We appreciate it. Congratulations on the official announcement. So I know that you've been, we've been talking about this, it seems like forever, and I think we all knew that this was going to happen. But so it's like when you see the actual official tweet from the UFC and the story at ESPN.com, and you know it's happening after all this work you've put in and all this dedication. So what's like, what goes through your mind when you know, okay, here it is, I get my shot July 29th?
It's really exciting. Like, I guess I'm like really grateful for this opportunity. I get like you said, we've been talking about this for like, it seems like forever now. And, like it's different when all like the small kind of journalist companies like put out saying, oh, this could be happening or it looks like it's slated, but like it's a completely different when like the UFC make their official announcement, because then like it's real, like it's out there and the promotion made like the official announcement. I'm like, okay, now it's go time.
and you're right, so there have been other reports, but until it's official, you know enough about the fight game, or we can hear reports about fights all day long, and sometimes for whatever reason they don't happen. A lot of things could break up a fight, but now this is real. And not only are you fighting Cyborg, it's on the co-main event of UFC 214, which is going to be Daniel Cormier and Jon Jones, one of the biggest UFC fights of the year. It's on pay-per-view. Yeah. You're the co-main. It's for the title. It's not just a big fight. It's for the title. So, I mean, besides just fighting Cyborg, there's the featherweight championship and one of the biggest, most high-profile cards of the year. So what's that like to know not only are you getting your big fight, but there's going to be so many people watching it? It's your chance to show everyone what you're made of.
I'm really excited. If she wasn't in the UFC, we would be fighting now anyway, just because I was the interim champ and she was a champ before she decided to go to the UFC. But I'm glad that we have this kind of stage to be able to have this fight on. So it's nothing that I wasn't prepared for anyway. I'm glad that it's on that bigger stage. We both get the exposure that we need. And, you know, I'm excited to shock the world, because it's going to be fireworks.
Okay, so you mentioned you just used the word prepared. I'm sure you've been preparing for this already, but tell us what this last month now leading up to the fight will be like for you.
Well, we're around 6 weeks out now. So it's kind of like my weight is where I need it to be. So that's one thing I don't have to worry about. So all my training, and all my time is solely focused on, just improving the things that I'm good at. And, you know, I guess, just training the game plan.
So since you've known about this for a long time and you have a great relationship with your coach, James Krause, how much time have you already spent, or have you spent much time actually applying some of the things and maybe initial preparations for the game plan you would have against Cyborg?
Yeah, we've spent some time preparing for that. James is, you know, he's been away a lot, you know, going to New Zealand with Tam and that kind of stuff. And he's, you know, focused on some of his training right now because I can't say anything. No. So he's just training. And so I have changed my location a bit for this fight. So I'm spending a lot of my time up in Denver. He's also the Mark is a coach who James also comes out and trains with. So Mark knows my style. He knows James's style. We all mesh well together, and I think we have an amazing team. And I'm happy with what I'm doing. I'm, you know, confident in myself and confident in my coaching and my training, and I have no doubt that come July 29th that I'm going to dethrone Cyborg.
So tell us more about Denver and who you'll be training with and what where the facility is and what some of the advantages you'll have by going out there and preparing.
Well, the first week was really hard because it's at altitude. I think it's like a mile up, and I thought I was going to die. Wow. But I'm training at Factory X under Mark Montoya, and they have a lot of high-level athletes. You know, they have Dustin Jacoby, they have Brian Foster, Brian Camozzi, Chris Camozzi. Both of them are in the UFC. They have a lot of high-level athletes. So there are, and Mark is an amazing coach, so it's really good to be able to mix my stuff with James in with Mark and add to what we're already good at.
So how long will you spend in Denver?
I'm not too sure yet.
But how long, do you feel better with the altitude? How long does it take for you to acclimate to that to where it's you're not feeling like you're going to die?
Yeah. Well, it only took me kind of like, I'm going to say like a week this time. Every time I come up to Denver, it hits me differently. Like the first time I came up, I was like 10 days out from my fight in Victor in January. And like, it didn't really hit me because I was like close to weight and I was in shape. And the second time I came out, it was only like maybe 2 or 3 days, but this last time, oh my God, it hit me like a brick wall. I thought I was going to die.
So I know that most of your game plan and you want to keep to yourself, but when you've watched her in the past and when you sit down and watch any film of her in her past fights, what are some of the things that stand out to you, that jump out to you, that you're going to have to focus on? How would you describe her as a fighter to anyone that maybe hasn't seen her or hasn't seen her as much as you have?
Yeah, she's very much a pressure fighter early on. She likes to, I guess, bully her opponents, but that's my style. So essentially, I'm going to bully the bully. I'm going to make her respect my punches, respect the range, and, you know, start using the tools that I like to tire her down and to land those perfect shots, those power punches that I know I'm capable of.
Yeah. So when you say bully the bully, isn't it? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like Cyborg is one of those people that she doesn't come across people that can match her for size and power very often. Do you expect that to maybe for her to not maybe be prepared for your size and power just because she hasn't had a chance to see that very often?
I think so, but I think I think her mentality is like she's going to pressure forward like she always is until she learns that she has to respect the power.
So you we've talked about how this the process and how this a fight comes together and you have representation and everything else. So when it's done, do you actually who gives you the phone call or how do you find out that okay, it's done deal, July 29th, UFC 214. Does someone from the UFC call you, your representation? How do you find out that this thing's finally official?
Well, my management team at Paradigm, they kind of did all the negotiations and they finally, they gave me a call after saying, yep, like, it's on. It's the UFC that they're in. They want this fight, and it's done. So now it's just all the paperwork.
Just all the paperwork and everything else. As you're, I know that you at least got one text message from us, and we wanted to have you on the show. So is your phone blown up? What's the, and it just became official, but what's the reaction been like so far after people finding out you're going to be the co-main event at UFC 214?
Yeah, my phone definitely has been blowing up. I wasn't expecting it until like around midday today. You know, I spoke to the UFC PR team yesterday, and I didn't know it was going to be so early they were going to announce it. So that was a surprise to wake up to, like my phone going crazy. But it's a lot of mixed reactions. Like a lot of people who are knowledgeable about the sport and who know who I am, they know, like, you know, that I am the biggest threat to her, and they know that, you know, my power that I have, that's going to, you know, shock the world. But then there's, you know, the people, the casual fans, or like the cyborg fanatic fans who are just like, oh my god, she's gonna kill you, hope you have your funeral arrangements, all this kind of stuff. I'm like, oh my god, you guys are weird.
so maybe stay off the social media, because it'll get crazy. But for people that know, like you said, people that know fighting and have watched you fight and understand everything, This is something that real fight fans have been waiting for. This is kind of a geek out matchup for MMA fans that they've wanted to happen for a while.
Yeah, this is a huge fight for women's MMA. Like, I feel like this is almost like kind of like for the featherweight division. This is kind of up there with like Misha and Ronda. Like, this is huge for the featherweight division.
And so. To that point, being on the stage at UFC 214 and being the co-main under one of the most anticipated fights of the year in Cormier and Jones, like you said, if it turns out to be a really good fight, or if you go in there and beat Cyborg with so many people watching, not only is this huge for the featherweight division, and not only does that give you the win, that trademark win, but that, let's just be honest, then you become a star. I mean, that's the kind of opportunity this is. It's not just for your fight career, because we've seen when Holly Holm won, or like any of these big fights on pay-per-view in a high profile card, it becomes something else. And so this is, I'm not trying to put too much on you, but this is huge, and we're just thrilled for you. I mean, will there be like any kind of promotional tour? Will you have to do anything, break your training camp and do anything for UFC as far as promotions or a press conference, or you won't have to go through that?
I have no idea at this stage. I'm sure if I have to do anything, they'll let me know.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you a couple of times between now and then. And I just can't tell you how excited we are for you. We know how hard you've worked and how cool you've been to come into the studio all the time and hang out with us and talk about your career. And so we're very proud and we're very excited. Jake is already looking at flights out there. So, we don't know. We don't know if it would help you or hurt you to have him out there. So we don't know if we're going to let him go. We're going to find out at a later date. But just know this. There'll be a big
need the bone broth.
Yeah, dude, now that's the other thing. Are you, will you be willing to introduce bone broth into your training camp in preparation for Cyborg?
I don't know. Talk to my nutritionist.
Jake, we can get him. I can get Tyler Mitten on the phone. I mean,
ask Tyler if it's okay. I'll provide it.
If nothing else, Jake will take bone broth the entire training camp for you, so he's prepared to watch.
I'm telling you, it'll help you recover. Right. I'm serious.
Well, she's going to Cyborg's going to need it, because she's going to need to recover after getting knocked out. So Megan, congratulations. We're thrilled for you. We're excited. Hopefully, we get a chance to talk to you a couple of times leading up to the fight, and just get after it. We know that no one's going to outwork you. That's for sure.
I will. Well, I'll be bringing that belt back to Kansas City and Australia.
That's right, and in the studio. We can't wait to see
the
belt.
In the studio.
That's right. Hey, Megan, seriously, congratulations, all right?
Thank you.
All right, thank you so much for calling in, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
No problem. Talk to you soon, guys.
That is Megan Anderson. We are so excited right now for her.
Pumped.
You can you tell how excited she is? That's one of the cool things. I mean.
Yeah, you can hear it in her voice.
Yeah.
I, as soon as I called her, I could tell that, you know.
It's awesome. And, yeah, be sure to thank her because she's out there in Denver working very hard to get ready for this fight. But and so, again, and Nate, you've been around this enough to appreciate how frustrating it's been for her because maybe she's going to get a shot at the UFC. Maybe she's not. Maybe it's going to happen 2 years down the road. Maybe it never happens. That's just how volatile the sport is, and mm-hmm. chances, windows are open, and you can take advantage of that opportunity. And she's built her career as the Invicta featherweight champ, and now, like so many other female fighters that have laid the groundwork at Invicta, she's making that jump to UFC. But not just the jump to UFC, like, hey, you know, gonna fight on a fight. There's nothing wrong with fighting on UFC Fight Night or fighting on this or that or fight on the FS1 portion. She's going right into UFC 214 co-main event with Cormier and Jones on pay-per-view for the featherweight championship against the number one ranked pound-for-pound female fighter in the world.
Awesome. It's awesome.
From when we talked to her until now, it's like, ah!
It's crazy to see when, and we've seen it with some of our good friends on this show in the past. We saw it with Victor. You know, getting a chance to be the welterweight champion of the world, WBC, right? If I remember correctly.
That's right.
And, you know, we saw Matt Beasler come from a kid that was, you know, a draft pick living in his parents' basement to starting every single game in the World Cup in Brazil for the United States men's national team. Like, that is the absolute pinnacle of his professional, you know, career. And now we're seeing Megan Anderson. Like you said, we got to know her. She's an up-and-coming fighter. And
even James. I remember James Krause, the first time we had James on, it was before his big, you know, ECW fight on Fox Sports. Like, I mean...
ECW.
Wasn't it ECW?
Isn't ECW, like, professional wrestling? Where
What's the... You know what I'm talking
right,
about?
I know. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd like to put you in ECW.
It wasn't UFC.
No.
It was when he first started. Yeah, you know, it was, I think, his first national fight on television.
You remember when we had him do like an expo down down by...
Yeah.
At P&L when we had like a...
Yep.
We had like the
ring set up in between on Main Street.
What was that event, though, that we had? I can't remember now, but he set it up in the street. And he did a clinic for kids and stuff. I was looking back in 2013, we had him on... For his first, was a fight in the UFC. It's been amazing. You know, I don't know what to tell you. I'm nervous.
It's
but I'm excited.
It's super.
WEC.
Cool.
It was WEC.
What year was that when we hit him on?
First
time, you think?
It was. Because it was when I believe it was when he fought Daniel, or who is it, Cowboy Cerrone.
Yeah, yep. You're right.
So that was June 7th of 2009.
Yeah.
8 years ago to this month.
Mm-hmm.
That was he was undefeated. That was his first loss.
Are you really going to go? Like, are you this, like, do I'm, I start I, to look at things? Are you, I mean, I is am, this I, serious or?
Ask no.
Because sometimes you say something and then like, oh, I wasn't, you know.
Am I looking at flights on Southwest?
No, look, so skeptical of anything that you're asking her to sign off on. So you, I mean, this is something that you...
I'm going to have to move some stuff around, but I'm willing if I can figure it out.
You will move things around. If it's important, you will move. I mean, I'm just, you will go on a trip. I just don't know if it's this one. But I feel like...
I mean...
I don't know.
It's the UFC pay-per-view. Why aren't you talking about going on this?
Hmm?
Why aren't you talking about going to this?
I think I gotta work that night. Let me see. Mm-hmm. I will be ring announcing at KCFA 24.
Oh, man.
Well,
what time will that be?
No, those cards start at 7. That's the great thing about KCFA cards.
Mm-hmm.
They start promptly at 7 and they're done before 10. So I'll see her fight.
Okay.
Yeah. And guess what? Everyone there at KCFA is
going to want to watch this. But
every that's another thing. If you go, if you've gone to any KCFA cards that I've ring announced, Megan is at every one of them, working corners with other young fighters to try to help them, working corners with James. And she's all over the place as far as the MMA community, not just about herself, but helping other fighters. And so she's always there working the corners, and you know, we'll chat after the fight. What did you think of that? That was great. That was awesome. Or that was an awful fight. And like last time we were there, Susan went with me to the fights, and they talked for a long time just about different stuff and about the girls getting ready to start doing a class out there at Glory MMA and Fitness. And so she's very visible around the MMA community. And so point is, everyone at KCFA is either trains with her or is a fan of hers or is somehow connected to Megan. And no one will miss that fight. Let's just put it that way. Well, the watching her fight for the championship is a high priority. That could be one hell of a night. And that same night, Mikey Garcia is going to knock out Adrian Broner. Oh, boy. Man, you need to get a baseball bat and hit me right in my stomach. That's how excited I am. Calm me down. I'm feeling too good right now. Things are going too good. Come in here and ruin my morning. What was that for? Trying to ruin my morning again.
Trying to ruin your morning.
Yeah, whatever.
Ruining mine.
Okay, am I really?
No. My morning's going great.
Good
morning.
We'll take this to break.
Take it.
Would you like to hear a promoter getting mad at people at a press conference and start yelling at them?
Sure.
And her name's Kathy Duva. Okay. And she has this. Here's her reputation, okay? If one of her fighters loses, she will blame everyone and everything under the sun.
I'd like to hire her.
Kathy Duva?
Yeah. I have a bad show.
Yeah.
And doesn't I have her come talk.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what happens. It's never her fighter's fault. Right. The judges always robbed her fighter. And so let me give you an example of what a post pay-per-view fight press conference is like. Many times you'll have the fighter bring in their entourage and all of their family, and the other fighter will have all their family, and it's almost like a pep rally for the guy that just won. And then trash talking towards the people that just lost. And that's why, if you've heard, there was a scuffle that I was briefly involved in at the Mayweather-Ortiz post-fight press conference. Next time we have Victor, I'll let him fill you in on exactly what happened. But it was Zab Judah was involved. And for some reason, several pop cans were thrown at people. Whatever, that's just how things happen. And so they get wild, right? Mm-hmm. This was what happened after Andre Ward beat Sergey Kovalev, who was looking for a way out, who was on his way out, and now all Kathy Duva wants to do is make excuses.
Good evening, everyone. I'm still having a hard time processing what I just witnessed. I saw someone who should have been disqualified get his hand held up. Oh, don't, no. If you're a fan, shut up. We're here to work. If you're Andre Ward fans, it's not your place to talk, okay? It's my turn. He got hit with 3 low blows.
Nope.
4, actually, in the last round. And please act like grown-ups, okay? We're not here to cheer for our friends. We're going to talk, and we're going to say our piece, and then hopefully I won't have to see you people ever again.
Sore loser.
Oh, boy.
Now.
Oh, boy.
We asked the commission for an instant replay analysis. They did not give it to us. We will file a protest on Monday.
And it will be denied.
If you look at the instant replay, you see the back. Stop shouting. Are you journalists?
Okay, pause right there.
Then shut up.
Oh! You will see the instant replay, and yes, the last one, that's the case that they have, but also Kovalev was bent over, all right? The punches that she's 3 or 4, all on the belt line leading up to the final sequence, and Tony Weeks, in the pre-fight introductions, when he's given the instructions, points to Kovalev's belt line and says, "We're good here." And he punched Lance good here, pointing to the belt line. Anything below that
is illegal.
By the way, he's a pretty good right. referee.
And Kovalev was getting touched on the belt line and was looking to the ref to step in there. No, keep going. That was good. Like I told you before the fight. But the bottom line was Kovalev realized he couldn't knock Ward out. He was running out of gas. Ward was getting stronger, and he was going to get embarrassed. So he was looking for a way out. Because Andre Ward beat him the first time and then beat him again. Go back to Kathy Duba.
We asked for an instant replay. If you look at the instant replay, which the commission refused to look at tonight, you see the back of Sergey's cup going up one, two, three times. I've never seen somebody knocked out on a low blow until tonight. And I have to say, I hope I don't ever have to see it again. When the fight ended, Sergey was up on one of the cards, and he was down by a point on the other two. The fight was very close. The beginning of the eighth round, a low blow was thrown. The referee did not protect Sergey. He waved him back to fight. And then the damage started happening. When he got into that corner at the end, three low blows.
How about the right hand?
They're hard
Stop
to
it.
Miss.
I don't want to hear it anymore.
It's a
How
shame.
About the right hand to Kovalev's face that gave him noodle legs, spaghetti legs. You ever had spaghetti legs?
I've had spaghetti legs.
I know you
legs.
Have.
Yep, I have.
Did Kathy Duva step in there and blame someone else?
No.
No, she wasn't even there.
She didn't care.
Right. You still got spaghetti legs? Let me see.
Sometimes.
Not really. Let's take a break. Back after this on WHB.